I was once headed back to Cincinnati on a connecting flight from Dallas. This was, had to be 30 years ago. It was a long time ago. And I won't forget this. We got on the plane. Everything seemed normal. And the plane taxied. It was a full plane. And we took off. And the plane took off. And I was at a window seat. And looking out the window, I noticed the plane was kind of leveling off quickly, like it was, it got into a holding pattern. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange, but I didn't think too much about it. And then the plane started circling around downtown Dallas, which was kind of a pretty sight, actually. But the plane was circling, but not ascending. And pretty soon the voice on the from the cockpit came over, and it said something along the lines of, folks, the crew is unable to retract the flaps on the wing, you know, that were down so that the plane could take off. And he said, as a precaution, we're going to circle around and make a landing. So I thought, I wasn't too worried about things. That sounded strange, but okay. So the plane came around, and we approached the airport. And from my side of the plane, you could look off in the distance. And in the distance, you could see nothing but fire trucks and emergency trucks all along the runway with the lights going. And then all of a sudden that jarred me. Then the stewardess's voice came on, instructing us to assume, the crash position. She said, lean forward in your seat, grab the lower part of your legs with your arms. Well, what I remember on those instructions, I remember the instructions, but I also remember how dead silent the plane was. Everybody was so focused on the instructions coming over. And after that, everything was fine. And thanks be to God that the plane landed normally, and all I remember is sitting around a couple hours waiting for another flight. But I wish that, in thinking about this homily, I wish I could hear the words of God, the voice of God, as intently as I did those words of instruction on the plane. I mean, on the plane, I recognize those words as maybe life-saving words. I don't know. But do I look at God's message in my life in the same way? For those brief moments on the mountaintop, Peter and James and John had that experience of complete listening to God and the total recognition of God's holiness in their lives. And granted, it's hard for us to picture Jesus in the transfiguration, shining face, dazzling bright clothes and all. But it's easy to know the disciples' reaction. They were experiencing something so holy and sacred that it brought them to respect and to revere their God as never before. And it had to be more than just, you know, a God moment, although it was that. It must have been a glimpse of heaven, a certain joy in beholding the face of God, something so intense and powerful it would literally bring them to their knees. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. You know, we're given these 40 days of Lent to do exactly that. Listen. Sometimes we are more disposed to listen to human voices than to the voice of God. But Lent recommends a change in focus. We are asking that God guide us with God's own Spirit so that within our hearts there's a renewed commitment and a zeal to let go of those ways that are binding us, enslaving us, or distracting us, and to bring our eyes into a more correct focus on the brightness of God's self-giving love. And if we're able, with the grace of God, to refocus and to recognize the saving love of God in our lives, then we become like Peter, James, and John. We become not afflicted with our crosses, but transformed by them, and allowing them to carry us to new life.